Hey, you're listening to the FASD Success Show with Jeff Noble. Do you know what I love? I love to hear about what people at the top, some of the top organizations on fetal alcohol are doing, especially during the time of FASD Awareness Month and FASD Awareness Day. Today I'm talking to Audrey McFarland. She is the Executive Director of the Canada FASD Research Network. She was actually my first guest. She was returning for an update. We talk about all the international activities as well. We get the scoop on what's happening at CanFASD. Even if you aren't Canadian, much of the information we talk about can apply to you as a caregiver and especially advocates. They got toolkits coming out. They have a membership program. And we're also going to be talking about some of the work that you could do to get on the inside scoop with them and also about the UN, human rights. It's a really great show. So let's get ready to go for it.
Welcome to the FASD Success Show, the only podcast where you can get real world information about fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. This show will help you create calm in the chaos, have hope for the future, and more importantly, save your sanity so you don't lose your flipping mind. Now, here's your host, caregiver turned world FASD educator, Jeff Noble.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 79 of the FASD Success Show. I'm your host, Jeff Noble. Thank you so much for being here, whether this is your first episode or your 79th episode. I'm just so happy that you're taking the time to spend it with us, whether you're walking your dogs, whether you're in the car, whether you're hiding in a closet. It doesn't matter as long as you are here with us. I gotta tell you, I'm in a pretty good mood today. And if you asked me, you know, a few years ago, would I be this excited about this event? I don't know if I would say yes, but I am super excited. I'll tell you why. Because Olivia is potty training. And not only this weekend, she went pee in the potty, but she went poo in the potty. And I am ecstatic. But while there is celebration, and that is something to celebrate, don't sit here and listen to me and say, oh, it's wonderful and it's beautiful over at the Noble household, because it wasn't the case. I live in northeastern Ontario in Canada. We have a little place. It's about an hour and a half. It's called Santa's Village. Really nice place. You know, there's rides. I thought it was age appropriate. She's too young. Too young. She's 2.5 years old. She was up since 5. We drove. We didn't get there till 11. We had about an hour. And that's fine. It's a good lesson, a re-lesson that our kids only have a certain amount of capacity, and I don't care if you're 2.5 or you're 12.5, and even let's take FASD into the equation here, that our guys are often dismature, right? So developmentally, they're younger. If they could have audio processing issues, cognition processing issues, so they get tired really fast. So it's all about finding that sweet spot of competence, that sweet spot of emotional resilience. And we went over our quota, and she was yelly. Oh my gosh. But we got some cool photos. But man, she was screaming. And what are you going to do? Can't get mad at her. It was our fault. We just got to find the sweet spot, even with your kids. But anyways, I digress. Thank you so much for being here. I can't believe it. We're approaching 80 shows. If you love the show, if you like the show, can you please do us a favor and subscribe? It helps us with the algorithms, with the beep boops and the bop boops in the background. It also helps you, because as soon as we release an episode, it'll go right to your phone and you could catch it. You don't have to miss it. You don't have to wait and wonder. You'll get our notification, all of that good stuff. And the reason it helps other people is if we are ranking in the algorithm and somebody searches for FASD in a podcast, we come up. And we're coming up. It's working, man. It is working. And I'll tell you why. Now, we are approaching 100,000 unique downloads of our show, and we're not even 2 years into this. It's blowing my mind. And it's all because of you guys. It's absolutely fantastic. And then, again, don't pay much attention to stats. I was taking a look because I got a video from the host that hosts our podcast, and they said this is how you can check out. And supposedly, we are on the top 5% of podcasts on the planet with the amount of downloads we get per week or 7 days, whatever those metrics are. So thank you very much for doing that. Before we get to it, you know what I don't like? What is the number one enemy, I believe, for caregivers is isolation. So if you find yourself isolated, if you would like a cool place to go, we have a Facebook group, facebook.com/groups /FASD forever. Well over 3,000 individuals there. People are joining like crazy in a good way. The goal is to help you maintain your sanity, man. That's what it's all about. And last but not least, if you really like the show and you want to support us, you can support us by going to buymeacoffee.com/FASD success. And I'll tell you what, since we've started this, we've been able to hire an editor, and it's apparent this week. Man, so while it is doable, it is passable and fine. You know, I have standards. I like really good quality stuff. My mic was just not the best that day when I was talking to Audrey McFarlane, and Kevin absolutely saves the day here. We would have had to scrap the whole entire episode. I wasn't about to start dubbing it. Like, how do you do that, right? And he saved it. He absolutely saved it. So, Kevin, thank you very much. I apologize for it. You know, people will be like, not a big deal, but still, not to my standards of recording, and I'll try and be better next time. But if Kevin wasn't there, this wouldn't have happened. We would have had to redo the show or something. I don't know. So that's all from your help from buying us a coffee. It says buy me a coffee, but it's actually make sure we could keep Kevin. So I digress. But you know what, folks? Today, I am stoked because depends when you're listening to this. We were recording this just at the start of FASD Awareness Month. We get a lot of traction and we're approaching FASD Day. So I thought, who better to have to come back? One of our most popular, most downloaded episodes is with Audrey McFarlane. And Audrey is the executive director of the Canadian FASD Research Network. Her list of accomplishments and her bio is 10 pages long. So just know she's the ED. She knows what she's doing. In Canada, it's political season here. We have an election coming up in a couple of weeks. In fact, the whole campaign is only 35 days. So it's pretty intense. But they put together toolkits and they work. Like, actually, I use a toolkit and they gave you like examples of tweets. And I had like one of the highest like shares, all the retweets. I'm not a huge guy on Twitter, but you can find me at Jeff J. Noble. And it works. And she's going to be talking an announcement that is only here. You'll be hearing it first. And we're also going to get into how you can be informed, how you could be on the inside like I am. And I mean that in a humble way, because I am fortunate to be, I have worked with Ken FASD in the past, so I get stuff when they get it, and it's excellent. It keeps me on the edge of the new research, and now you're able to do it. So she's going to talk about it. It's a great interview. Again, I apologize for the audio. It's passable. It's doable. Have a good walk. Have a good jog. Have a good drive, and I'll see you on the other side. All right, let's go. Hey, everybody. Welcome. I am here with the executive director of the Canadian FASD Research Network, Audrey McFarlane. Audrey, thanks for joining me for the second time. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I love being here. Thanks.
Well, I love having you. So I guess everybody is a winner. And you're not just a guest on the show, but you've told me more than once you're a fan of the show.
I am. I listen to all the podcasts and we share them at CanFASD as well.
Well, that is a great ego stroker. I appreciate you doing that. Okay, so you've been on already, and I was just telling you off air. I really like saying that. I don't know. It really makes no difference. But we were talking before I press the record button. Let's just say that. And you are in the top five most popular podcasts that I have. It's actually your episode number 2. And I think you're going to be like episode 78 or 80. Isn't that crazy?
That's wonderful.
Yeah. It goes by so quick. Now, we can't assume that everybody's heard that podcast, which is a shame. You should go listen to it. But what is Ken FASD and what do you guys do?
Yeah, great. That's a good start. So CanFASD is a national not-for-profit organization. And I guess our special talent is to bring all the stakeholders together to look at the research gaps. So the policymakers, the caregivers, individuals with FASD, the professionals, and individuals, of course, with FASD as well, that we bring them all together to look at a specific topic. Then the researchers go off, they work on their research with groups of folks, they bring that research back, and we try to turn that into meaningful information for caregivers or policy providers so that we can improve the lives of individuals with FASD.
How do you do that? I know how, but tell the people how you do that.
our belief is that if we have good information to policymakers, so government folks, then they will make good decisions with their limited funds around services and programs that are going to be meaningful for people and not have duplication or not miss an area. And so that results in then better services and programs and better support for people.
So you, policymakers or people with budgets saying, listen, we have this much money to tackle FASD. You guys aren't going out there and saying, no, we need more money. You're saying, okay, this is how much money you have. This is what the research says. This is what policy says. This is where we think, and we know from all the work we've done, it would be most effective and beneficial if you put it here.
Yes, exactly.
Excellent. You also do knowledge transfer. And like you said, you were a big fan of my podcast. I've been a big fan of CanFASD long before we ever associated brands. I guess we could say that, right? And why is because the way in which you guys do knowledge transfer is some of the best I feel in the world, all the way going back to like common messaging guides. You just put it out there and you make it simple. And so if there's another medium, let me know. But I know that you guys do it from blog posts. You guys have a webinar series where you clear on YouTube, CanFast, CanFASD, just search it on YouTube, where you guys have excellent researchers who really break down the research in an easy to understand way. You guys have for jurisdictions in Canada that qualify. You guys have online training that you guys do, not only for caregivers, but for professionals and even policymakers. What else do you guys do?
Yeah, for sure. So of course we do the kinds of research translation that other researchers like so that they can continue to build
Agreed.
On the work, right?
Yep.
So publications, we do lots of reports and things like that for governments as well. And then we also develop these issue papers. So we take an issue that we hear is very popular or people have questions about it, and we break it down into 3 or 4 pages with recommendations for government folks. So it might be on child welfare or it might be on a stigma. So there's a whole range of things. I think we have 34 of them on our website now and they're searchable. And so those are targeted towards government folks, but I find that lots of families are using them as well to take to their school. Like we did one last year on FASD as a unique disability. And so people find that very helpful. It breaks it down. What is unique about FASD in comparison to other disabilities? So teachers find it helpful, social workers, the family doctor, that sort of thing. So there's lots of ways to use all of our resources. But yeah, so it's really interesting.
And you have an absolute all-star cast. Like,
oh, for sure.
Right? So the research you're getting or you guys are synchronizing or heading, these people know what they're talking about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we look at diagnosis, we look at interventions and child welfare and justice as also prevention. And all of those amazing research leads that we have, they don't work in silos anymore. They're working together in cross sectors, like child welfare intersects with prevention and justice intersects with interventions and diagnosis. So they're all working together on these things. And I think it's the research is so much stronger than it was several years ago. I mean, I think that's just the way.
Agreed. As a trainer and teacher and coach now, it has just grown significantly over the years, and it just allows me to impact more people. I'm comfortable and confident that it is the right information. It is the most up-to-date that we have now. You know, what changes science? Better science and better research. And from talking to your researchers on the podcast is that a lot of research asks, there's more questions, but at least we're asking the right questions. Now, before we get on to other stuff, we don't have to get it too deep, but I think it's worthy to notice that you now have created a way for regular folks and people that are listening to this to be a part. You have like a membership, right? So they could, you know, they could be on the team and they could be included. Do you just want to give me a quick synopsis of that?
Yeah, sure. So CanFASD has always been a member organization. So most people are probably familiar with that provinces and territories pay a fee annually to be members of CanFASD. And those governments get some really specialized access to information. So, you know, the minister wants to know about employment in FASD and they call us and we send some information back right away, which is hugely helpful and really effective in getting that information. the right information to them. But we know that there's been lots of folks that have wanted to be members and have influence on the research direction that we take. So we created individual memberships. So regardless of where you live in Canada or even internationally, you can become a member of CanFASD, and that allows you certain privileges. And probably the most valuable, I think, are getting the information early in real time. So
I agreed.
We don't get information about research until it's all done and it's published and it's 2 years past when they did the work. We're going to provide information from our researchers in real time, what's happening, what are they learning, that kind of stuff before they're published. But also then once we have enough members, we can reach out to that group and say, okay, what are your, you know, of these 10 areas, what are your top needs that we need to focus on in the next couple of years for research? So then that's really valuable to our researchers that we have that direct connection. So we're kind of focusing on professionals and caregivers and individuals, and we have two different rates, and all the info's on the website there.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to post it. Here's why the benefit, and I appreciate getting the information early. I have been lucky and privileged to get, I've been getting that for the past few years. I've been getting those emails, and just to be and not to wait and to get it from you guys. Remember when in Vancouver I said from the horse's mouth, like, right? So I'm not going to say right from the top of the mountain, we'll say, is so beneficial. And then that way, you know, we say it's for professionals and caregivers, but listen, let's be honest. Caregivers do so much research on FASD to begin with. They are some of the most educated people that I know because they need to know. And so by getting this membership, you can know and also be a part of it. And you guys do act. Like Dr. Mel is doing work on cannabis, and that's because he heard it from the parents, right? Mm-hmm. And so he said, okay, this is what we need to focus on. This is what we're focusing on, and aggression. And the medication algorithm stem from people telling him that this is what it is. So you become a member and you're able to have that direct open communication with you, right? And I know, I think I've read that you're doing member only events, and I can't wait for all that stuff. So yeah, we'll put that on the website for you as well. And you can go to canfasd.ca, yeah, to check it out. Now, I just had to get that in there. And I love shameless self-promotions, but the people that listen to this show are informed. And so if you want to get on the inside, I would heavily suggest that. You did talk a little bit about policy. My mind automatically went to elections. Mm-hmm. It went, if you don't know, Canada, we're in the midst of a federal election right now. It's a little bit different than some of the federal elections throughout the world, as it is only 36 days, right? Some of these other countries, it seems like a marathon. What's FASD, how are we going to get a piece or wedged into as an issue with COVID and housing and healthcare and vaccines? Do you want to talk a little bit about politics? Do you mind?
I sure do.
Okay, dude, that's good.
I'm a bit of a political junkie, so I like this kind of stuff.
Oh, well then, what do you think? First question, what do you think about the timing of it? This is your personal opinion, I understand, but what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is an important question whether Canada wants to move in a more progressive way around COVID. And so I think that's what the Prime Minister has asked Canadians, is this the direction that we should be taking? So I think the timing's okay. I mean, I don't think any politician probably wanted to be out canvassing or bringing people together during the fourth wave. And I don't think that they really anticipated that too much. But I think it is a good question. With the minority government, do they have the mandate to be making all these decisions? And I think that Canadians should weigh in on that. And there is a way for FASD to get on the table, but we need people to help us with that and to raise our voices together. One of the things I think that happens to families when they get involved in an election is that, especially a federal election, so many of the services and programs that they need or want to access are under the province's responsibility. And so when they talk to a federal candidate about those things, the federal candidate's like, nah, that's nice, but that's not my jurisdiction, and doesn't really pay attention. So CanFASD this time around has tried to create some momentum and some tools to give to people to have the right conversations with candidates and how to do that. So we're focusing on things that the federal government can do. And I think we're going to talk about a national strategy for FASD in Canada, which I think is within the power of the federal government and really needs to be done in Canada.
Because we don't have one. See, in my travels and my talks and my conversations, I always hear we are so way behind Canada. And I think we're put on a little bit of a pedestal. I don't entirely think that's accurate. Like, you are also in that arena. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think that at one time we used to say that Canada was the lead in terms of programs and services, and that the research that Canada was doing was really benefited service delivery. And I think we're still doing that, but other countries have taken our information and are moving forward much more quickly. I think Australia is surpassing Canada with leaps and bounds with the kinds of funding that they're getting and direction. They do have a national strategy, so they have some coordinated efforts. The federal government there knows where to put their money. And so they are making some really great strides. And it's amazing how much you can do when you have money.
Yeah, I agree. But we don't have a national strategy.
No, Canada doesn't. The Public Health Agency of Canada has a booklet that they put out, I think, in 2005. And it kind of has some key priority areas, but it's so outdated now and it doesn't cover everything. So I think, you know, the Public Health Agency of Canada is a great organization, but focused on prevention. And that is a really important part of what we need to tackle. But it leaves out, you know, 1.5 million people that have the disability in Canada.
Yeah. And their families, because it just doesn't affect the individual. Right. Yeah. It affects the, you know, their immediate family. It affects the community. It affects the services. So what is CanFASD? What are they doing? You said you're trying. How are we trying? What are we doing?
Yeah, so we've put out a bunch of information about the national strategy, but for this election, we're asking people to talk to their candidates about FASD and about a national strategy. So taking advantage of all those opportunities in an election, if somebody comes canvassing to your door and have a few questions ready. And on our website, we have a whole page dedicated to this.
Yeah, let me just pull some of these up.
So there are some questions that we've proposed.
Okay, I got some.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what the response would be if they just were like blank, you know, because I find that we as in caregivers, as in FASD informed, are often the ones educating. What do you think? Like, so, you know, someone comes to the door and you say, what will your party do to address FASD in Canada? And then the guy's like, just blank stared. Or... Yeah. Could we be surprised and maybe they do know?
Yeah, you never know, right? But I mean, they're just opening questions. And
that's fair.
And the, you know, take the conversation. All you caregivers know what FASD is. You could explain it to people. And, you know, you probably have your 30-second skit down pretty good by now. It's an opportunity to educate as
that's
well.
Fair. That's fair to say that.
Provide some facts and why it's a big issue in Canada.
And one of these things that you did say on this, you can go to canfast.ca/elections and you'll see the information she's talking about. What do we know that one of the things a politician cares about is money, right? And so you've even listed here that FASD costs Canada approximately $9.7 billion every year. Like, I don't even think I could fathom, like, I can't even fathom that. How did you get that number? Like, how that's astronomical.
Yeah, so there's been a number of economists who crunched the numbers and have written about this. And they pull statistics and numbers, and they have fancy formula that they use to come up with this big number. But it's pulled from justice, the costs to the court systems, the costs to corrections in jails, the costs to child welfare, the costs in special education, the costs in homelessness, and so on, and substance use, all of these unhealthy systems when people aren't supported that they end up accessing. And so our argument is that they could strongly reduce that number if people were well supported. And having a national strategy would give everyone in Canada some direction on where they needed to focus those energies. So even if the responsibility does come down to the provinces and the territories, they still need direction from the federal government about where to put those priorities.
Yeah, well said. I catch myself listening to you because you're good at that. And then let's not forget what we can't monetize or estimate is the loss of potential.
That's right. And we haven't looked at those studies. I mean, there might be economists that are interested in that area and working on it. I'm not aware of that, but it is on our list for sure. I mean, the lost productivity, even of caregivers, right?
They have to stay home, quit their job. And these are smart ass women, man, professional women, you know, that have made the ultimate sacrifice, I feel, because I know, having been a caregiver myself, neurotypical or FASD. I see how hard Tara works, who is an amazing social worker, amazing, but you know, caregiving an individual on the spectrum is really tough. Now,
so I'm going to put a plug here.
Buddy, we love plugs here.
Yeah, so your audience is going to be the first to hear about this. Yeah, so we are launching on September 9th a national survey for caregivers to learn about their experiences when caregiving for someone with FASD, whether it's a child or an adult. This is really important because we don't have a lot of research that talks about this. We know that there's elevated stress. We know that there sometimes are poor health outcomes, but this will really capture the lost productivity, the issues that they have to deal with, the struggles, you know, is there a higher divorce rate in this population? Is there more significant health issues? Or do they have amazing coping strategies and are tremendously resilient? So we just don't know. And so that's launching September 9th. You're the first to know.
Oh, here we go, folks, the audience. And I'll make sure, obviously, we post it everywhere. What are you doing with the survey?
Yeah, so we're going to analyze the results. It's a survey that's going to stay open over time. So as the years go by, we will be able to tell if the things are getting better for caregivers. We're assuming that they're not so good right now, but the research will actually tell us that. And then over time, does that even get better? So yeah, that's kind of the plan at the moment. And there'll be probably lots of papers written about it. And I think it's hugely important. It's a piece that government needs to understand about how stressed families are and those in foster care and adoption, you know, what are their struggles versus caregivers who are related to the individual. So
there's power in data, and your job, Audrey McFarlane, Executive Director of Canada FASD, is to get into these positions in front of policymakers and politicians, and you can pack more of a punch when you have more data, large database, and you could speak for the people, and they just have to fill out a survey so you can make the collective voices heard, correct?
Absolutely.
And I have no doubt that you can dance with the politicians. I've heard you. Okay. Like I've heard you. Like I've heard you at conferences, and I've just been that little kid beside you, just like listening. You're great at it. How long does this survey take?
It is a bit of a lengthy survey, I will, but you can come and go from it as you wish. So you can sign in, and some of it might be a little bit more traumatic for families, you know, if you've suffered big events.
Yeah.
So you can come and go. We have a bunch of health stuff built into it as well, some wellness tips, some strategies, and some, you know, meditation built right into the
survey. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And so that's a good, and make sure they got some snacks and water. And but you're saying this is a definitive ask because it will help you go in, and because subsequently things that help Canada, clearly what you said about Australia, are helping other nations. What are other countries doing? Like, do you guys, is it like the G7 and you guys get together, you know, as a representative from Canada? Like, do you know what they're doing? What other countries?
Well, I mean, we do learn from each other at those international conferences when we've had them, or we travel to the Euro conference or Australians. Uh-huh. And, you know, we do chat with them. I think Australia and New Zealand are probably the furthest ahead right now. They have, you know, significant funding, $20 million to address the research and prevention campaigns, and, you know, that are national in scope and research. So, I mean, they're really pushing forward with a lot of policy stuff. And, you know, they use cannabis stuff. They use our diagnostic
yeah.
guidelines.
We had Louise Gray on here.
Models, our prevention models, and we often consult on work that they're doing in Australia and work together on projects. So them and New Zealand follows, you know, pretty much what Australia does. They work very closely together. The United States, I mean, you know, they've focused in the beginning a lot on the science. They've given us all the information that we have in the world on the impacts of prenatal alcohol exposure, that they've been so strong in that area. And still, they have these big labs and doing a lot of that kind of work and epigenetics and things like that. And so...
Now they have the FASD Respect Act. From on the outside, you know, looks like it's gaining a lot of momentum. I have caregivers that are involved in my coaching program that are getting people to sponsor, you know, politicians to sponsor the bill. It is amazing, and I'm rooting them on.
And, you know, I think it's been a little bit the same in the United States, that the services have developed sporadically across the country, right?
Sure.
Some states have services, just like some provinces in Canada, and
Agreed.
Some don't. And I think that the FASD Respect Act and the national strategy that we're asking for will help to coordinate both those things. But the thing it really does is it makes Canadians and Americans stand up and say, okay, FASD is a real issue or a real disability that we need to pay attention to. And, you know, we don't have that in Canada. In the federal government in Canada, I have never heard a politician publicly say fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. And that's a problem. You know, if they're not talking about it, they're not talking about it publicly, people with FASD and the agencies that support them are not invited to any of the decision-making tables, then that voice is not heard. And so we really need to make, in all the countries, really, FASD people aware of the successes that people can have, but as well, right now, where we're sitting with the challenges.
Where are we missing the mark?
I think that we've been uncoordinated. We've been, you know, not focused together on a common message. So, you know, this parent goes off and talks to a politician, gives this message, and this one talks to them again and gives a different message. So right there, the politician doesn't know what direction to go. And so they don't go anywhere with it. So I think that they need to have that common goal that we all together are pushing forward. It's not a perfect solution, but I don't know a better way to get the attention. If we all come with different messages, then it'll be too confusing for the politicians and they won't choose. They'll do nothing.
Is the common message through the national strategy?
Yeah, I think so. At this point, I mean, we could have different messages in the future, but right now that is the federal thing that they can do, right? So a national strategy gives voice. It talks about the economic impacts. It gives us a clear pathway to address the goals in, you know, across the board from preconception right through to, you know, senior citizens with FASD and all the systems in between. So, and also, you know, some things that sometimes we don't think about, like alcohol policy, you know, and what impact that has. So I think there's tons of ways that need to be looked at and goals set and direction given. And ultimately, the goal is to make sure that all of that improves the lives of people with FASD. And that's the bottom goal.
So for all the people listening, if having a national strategy is the number one common message that we could say, so what is the 15-second or 30-second pitch that caregivers can rewind the podcast like this part over and over again? And so when they get their chance, they could say this.
Oh boy, you're really putting.
No, that's okay. Take your time. Like, but this is our chance, right? This is our chance. So instead of you like telling everyone individually, this is a chance for a couple thousand people. That's what we usually get a week. Listen to this. What are we saying?
I think we should say something like, "There's 1.5 million Canadians. That's more than autism, Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, all combined." That are being ignored by the federal government, and we should not have to wait any longer for some action to be taken. And that action is a national strategy.
and then they could find the national strategy, or would it be incumbent on the pitcher, the parent, to get like an email or to, so if a politician's like, oh, 2.5 times more prevalent than autism? Holy smokes, I didn't know that. And you're talking about a national strategy. Then what do? They get the office's email, like what would be the next step? Because we always like, I don't know what to say, and then we know what to say, and then we don't know what to do when people say, okay.
Yeah, for sure. And I think too, you know, you can also compare that autism hasn't, you know, they received funding for a national strategy in the last budget. And before that, they received some additional funding for research. So, you know, we should get 2.5 times more than that. But we would settle for the funding that we need to get that national strategy. But they can certainly check out where the candidate forms are. We have social media stuff on that page.
Oh, you do. Yes, you do.
And so you can put a frame on your Facebook profile.
Yep.
You can tweet, or you can tag.
Yep.
So you can tag the candidates or tweet at the candidates your message. And you can ask them to support a national FASD strategy, to reshare that or to post that themselves. And so you're getting some sort of commitment from them as well. You can write an editorial for your local newspaper about the need for a national strategy and why people with FASD need that.
Oh, cool. Sorry to interrupt you, but I'm just looking at your thing. You know, I could lie and say I looked at the whole thing earlier, but that would make me prepared and a professional, which I am not. You say tag candidates, use hashtags, bring attention to the movement, use visuals, and then you have check out our social media package for some downloadable graphics. So you got that. Because people are like, that's all well and good, but I don't know how to do that stuff, and you have it. Oh, you even have sample tweets.
Yeah.
You have sample tweets.
One of the things that's really cool too on the site is find your candidates. So sometimes people don't know who their candidates are, especially if the riding's really big. Then you can click on that and put in your riding, and it tells you who all the candidates are from all the parties. And usually there's contact information there as well.
Cool. I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to pick 1.5 million Canadians have fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. It's time for a national FASD strategy at candidate. Oh yeah. So I'll just put at my candidates. Okay.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool.
All right, so you have a social media post and you have sample graphics. I've put a graphic on my Twitter right now, and I'm going to pick, we need a national FASD strategy to address hashtag FASD in Canada. Increasing funding to our healthcare system is not enough. Election 44, hashtag it's our vote. And I just put it up, and we'll see what happens. But I'm doing my part, and I already have two likes on my tweet, and that was 30 seconds. So you like, I only have a small Twitter following. You can follow me though at Twitter, folks. That's what a good plug, at Jeff J. Noble on Twitter. Yeah, and so anybody can make a difference. That's really cool that you guys have that and are doing that. And we'll make sure this is all available on our blog and our social media posts. That's cool, because even though I'm active in social media, you just took the thinking out of that. Yeah, cool.
And we're also going to be posting as well, of course. So if people are following us on our social media feeds, they can reshare and tag or tweet and stuff. But we're also going to have some paid ads too that we're putting out there that are targeted towards politicians. So hopefully we'll be able to raise awareness as well just through those paid ads. They should be getting them on their social media feeds regularly. And then we're also trying to get some important editorials into some of the bigger newspapers and where we have a large general following. So that's kind of one of the other things that CanFASD is working on right now.
You're
just trying to connect with as many politicians as we can to try to get the message out and really pushing for this. So, I mean, realistically, you know, compared to COVID and some of the other things that are taking up space in the election right now, FASD appears to be small, but you never know what's going to gain momentum. And the sheer volume that we can create of people sharing and liking and tweeting is can make a difference. And I had a politician tell me one time, they only need to hear the same message from three different people before they take action. Three.
I agreed. It's important. And I'm just looking at your common messaging guide. It is so good. I use this. You guys have it so good. We're going to put this up there too. And you just go walking into your either a meeting or a presentation, and you can walk and talk like a boss, always being polite and respectful of the other person. But you guys are doing amazing work, and I understand there's limitations, but we have to keep pushing forward. And I really like what you said. We don't know. You're looking for the survey because we don't know. We need more information. But I think it's important for people to know that you guys are working really hard. Often being a caregiver can feel alone and isolating, and that, you know, every time they go to a professional, it's like they try to do good and they're stopped in their tracks. But you guys are in the trenches with us, and you're trying to do good stuff. Now, in a perfect world, you know, we could table that. But what can the person do? We can be loud on social media, right? We can have conversations with our politician. You might be like the first person to mention it to a politician. And so we need other people to be that second and third. There might be a politician out there that's already heard it twice. And so do not be hesitant, because here we get two things. Imposter syndrome, we all get it. I get it. You get it. Like, we're just human beings, right? And why is anybody going to listen to me? What do you say about that?
Yeah, I think sometimes you just have to take risks and talk to people about the things that are important in your lives. And I know I hear too from people that they don't want to be political. That's not who they are. And I think, though, it's your right to have a say, to tell the candidates what's important to you and what you're interested in. So it could be professionals as well. I know lots of professionals listen to your podcasts. You know, you don't have to be a caregiver to push this kind of an issue forward. You see it in your professional lives, and you can share that. You know, you just be truthful about what you see, but get your point across. So I think we just have to take some risks sometimes.
Yeah. I know you have a lot on your plate, but what's going on? Like, what's in the back burner? Can you give us any little sample? Like, if I'm just probing you a little bit, like what else is happening?
Yeah. So I mentioned this off air, but we are doing some work around the UN, the rights of persons with disabilities. And you know, Canada signed on to that UN declaration in, I think, 2010. And so when you do that, each country then is reviewed by the UN to see how they're doing in terms of meeting those articles, they're called, or goals for each country.
And we were the greatest.
We were not.
No.
Our review in 2017, Canada kind of got a little bit spanked because we weren't meeting the goals in a way that we should be for a wealthy country. And so we had some work to do. And so now there's all these people in Canada that are working on the next review, which will take place in 2021-22. And CanFASD has found a seat at that table. And we're going to be working on some of those review articles or reviewed of the goals. And so that's kind of some of the behind the scenes stuff.
That's what I'm talking about.
Super important.
Yeah.
And to try to raise the profile of folks with FASD and their needs with the UN as well. So
that is important. And so then also the sense of urgency for that survey. Right. So if you're walking up to the UN, you know, you're in these meetings and you're going over these articles, and it's like totally, you can have input, but you're backed by the data. And that's what scientists listen to, right? You know, over opinion, they listen to the data. You brought a good subject up. I don't know how much you know, but, you know, the importance of like human rights. And I feel that oftentimes those rights are often broken for individuals with FASD.
Yeah, for sure. I think that there's becoming a lot more recognition of the discrimination or the, you know, not meeting people's right for those with FASD, diagnosed or undiagnosed. And so, you know, I think that is particularly in the justice system that is starting to be recognized. And there was a bill passed in the federal government that corrections needs to have better discharge planning and programming for people within jails, federal jail systems. So the goal of that bill was to reduce the number of people that returned to the system. So reducing that recidivism rate. But in that is a look at people with disabilities that are in the correction system that, you know, don't get the kinds of supports and services that they need. And certainly on exit, I mean, they just go back to whatever they came from in terms of social connections, and they don't have anything new to support them. So I think that there's a lot of work that can be done on that side in terms of human rights and what people are entitled to. So that's just one example. I mean, it can go through the whole thing around parenting when you have FASD. You know, there's a whole bunch of access to diagnosis. There's tons of areas where we're not doing a very good job in Canada from a rights perspective.
But we're trying, and you have to know better to do better. And so now you know that we weren't doing very well. And it looks like there's a collection of people who are, you know, it's almost like you have to have your room clean. And if it's not clean, I'm coming back in an hour. Right. And then so everyone's just like trying to get it all done. Before we go, is there any other thing that you wanted to mention so we don't say, oh, I meant to talk about this or mention this?
I guess September is FASD Awareness Month. And so we have also a similar toolkit to the election toolkit on our website. And helping community groups that want to do something but maybe don't have the resources, they can just download all the graphics and the messaging. Some people are being very creative. So last year in Lethbridge, Alberta, they took those graphics and they made lawn signs because it was the pandemic. So they couldn't have any gatherings and no conferences or fun things to do. So they gave out these lawn signs for people to put on their lawns. And I guess they were very popular and people would stop and ask them, you know, what does that mean? Whatever. So they had some great conversations on the sidewalks with people. So that's just one of the ways that people have been really creative with the tools that we've put out.
You guys are doing it. You're literally in the trenches. If you listen to this and your conclusion is anything but that you guys are doing your absolute best, but you're saying we need your help.
Yes.
Right? Like none of this will happen alone. You need the data. So when you're in those meetings, so please, please, September 9th, we'll get those surveys out to as many people as humanly possible. And if you want to get inside, like, listen, all this stuff she's talking about is free. And if you want to get in deeper than that, become a member, man. I'm a member. I'll always be a member because I think you guys are doing a kick-ass job. And come back and do this again because I think we need this annual update, the state of Can FASD Union.
Thanks. And I mean, we're just so grateful for all the support that we get from you and all of your followers, whether they're in Canada or not. We get lots of comments from folks in other countries. So I know that your followers are following us too. So that's amazing. And we love that. And we love hearing what's happening for people.
Because they're smart. My tribe is smart, you know, and they know what they're doing, and they're the best people on the planet, you know, and they're also accommodating and empathetic because they do follow me, right? So there's a bit of, oh, we love him. He's a bit goofy and off the wall a little bit. You know, we have their, just like you, I have their best interest in mind, and so do you, and I think that's why we work well together. So until next time, my friends, thank you again, you know, Audrey. I know you're super busy doing all of this stuff, so thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today, buddy.
Thank you. We appreciate the opportunity.
Frickin' heck yeah, my tribe is smart. You guys are the best. And you know what? I'll tell you what. If you made it through it, I apologize again for the audio, but you're loyal. And I love it. And I love you. And I love Audrey McFarlane. Honestly, I do. We've worked together a lot. And she's a great leader. Go get the toolkit. Go make sure that you can get that survey on September 9th. Go and join that membership and get in on the inside. Like, it is good to know that you will have the best information. And then what else was she saying? She was going to live Q&As with some of the best people on the planet, I believe. And you don't have to be from Canada. They love everybody. Everybody love everybody. This is a big month. This is a big month, and not only politically for Canada, but for you too, for FASD Awareness Day. Make sure you get your red shoes. If you got your red shoes, do not apologize for talking about FASD today. It is a conversation starter all month. Talk about it, share it. You know, this is the largest developmental disability in the Western world. And again, I believe the whole entire world, 2.5 times more prevalent than autism. You are allowed to talk about it. And folks don't know about it. Now, when we talk about it, we don't want to preach about it. Have a conversation, talk with people about fetal alcohol, not at people. And here's a little tip. Here's just a little tip. You don't have to know a lot. You don't have to know a lot because people don't really know about FASD. So you want to avoid if someone says, oh, fetal alcohol, what's that? And then you go, oh, here we go. And we just want to lay it all on them because somebody's interested. Just nice, easy sound bites. Let them sit on it, let them chew on it, and then let them ask a question after. That's what I would do. I would say a sentence, I would shut up, and I would wait for them to engage again to ask questions. That's what I do. That's what I teach my people how to do it, because then when it becomes a conversation, people feel like they're not being talked at. But be loud, man. Be proud. And as you can see, we are moving forward. I must say, like, this Awareness Month, even though it's only a few days old at the time of this recording, there are more people putting Facebook posts, Instagram, Twitter posts, you name it. There is way more than, let's say, 5 years ago. So you could be a part of the conversation. You can make a difference. Either are an individual, you are the true, on the spectrum, you're the true expert. If you're a caregiver, you have more than enough lived experience to talk about it. You do not have to shy. You do not have to hide away. You are good. You know what you're talking about. You know what to do. You know how to help. And just be a friendly engager with people. And we are coming up the rear. Groups like CanFASD, they're working hard to bring the information, to curate the content so you could share and you can make things better not only for yourself, but your family, because that's what we want. This is the podcast that's called FASD Success, and I want you to be successful. That's it. I want you to win. I want you to stop walking on eggshells. I want you to stop worrying. Stop being frozen paralysis about what's going to happen in the future. Oh, by the way, I almost forgot. If you're in our group or if you're not in our group, I will be showing up every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, New York, Toronto, and I'll be jamming with everybody. I did it last week. It was awesome. It was fantastic, right? Of course, we went over the definition of FASD, did a little bit of teaching. I'm going to go into it a little bit more. I'm going to be doing some Q&A. So again, that's facebook.com/group/FASD forever. Jump in, and I will see you every Thursday. Thursday is September 9th as well. Lots going on. Lots going on. Do not stop, okay? Do not stop. The wave is building. Do not stop. You're needed. You're loved. Your kids need you. Your family needs you. We need you. I need you. I need you to keep listening to the show so we can get to 100,000 people. Don't stop grinding. I love your face. I'll see you back here next week. You're the best. Until then, bye.